as it was useful.
You see, one of the first impressions there is that it's certain responsibilities. And you want to consider
some of those responsibilities starting today and perhaps Wednesday night.
Read with me in Luke chapter 23.
Luke chapter 23. Verse
52. What? This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus.
He took it down, wrapped it in linen, laid it in a sepulchre
that was hewn in stone, and was buried.
Begged the body of Jesus.
And you have it. Now, chapter 4.
Verse 8.
We entered in and found not
the body of the Lord Jesus.
They buried Jesus,
but when they came to look for him, they didn't see the Lord Jesus.
How do you like that?
That's the Bible. No other book is written that way. They buried Jesus,
but when they went to look for him, they didn't see the Lord Jesus.
How do we explain that? Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 36. Remember,
we buried the body of Jesus, but then they went and looked, they didn't see the body of the Lord Jesus.
It's so nice how the scriptures read. These little nice things.
I enjoy it. This one tells me for me.
They buried the body of Jesus, but when they went to look for him, they didn't see the body of the Lord Jesus.
What happened? Why was Jesus going to bury him? The body of the Lord Jesus going to look for
him. He was Lord by reason of the resurrection.
So when they went to look for him, they didn't see the Lord Jesus.
So they buried Jesus. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Doesn't that explain?
Yeah. Understand the study of few verses like this?
Only three. At least I don't know of any other book that's written this way.
They buried the body of Jesus.
They didn't see the body of the Lord Jesus. Resurrection.
He's Lord and Christ. Question.
Is he your Lord? He's Lord and Christ. Is he your Lord?
Well, then, please.
Very familiar portion. You know the days I mean.
Romans 10.
Verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved.
And that's how everybody in this room got saved.
You believe that God raised him from the dead,
and you confess him.
Now there are certain responsibilities when we say that Jesus is our Lord. And we're going to look at some of those responsibilities.
Luke 6, please, and verse 46.
We'll only look at one, okay? But there are responsibilities that
come upon us
when we say that Jesus is Lord.
If he is Lord, Luke 6 and 46.
Does anybody have it? Why do you call me Lord and do not the things which I do?
Is he Lord?
You obey him.
And as long as you disobey, for that interval, he's not Lord. Obedience is the key or one of the signs of the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to turn to several scriptures, but that's good too. Genesis chapter 19. Why call me Lord and do not what I say?
Obedience means 100% compliance.
Obedience, when we say Lord, means that we are obeying Him 100%.
Genesis chapter 19, please. This got verse 15.
Verse in verse 18. When the morning was come, then the angel hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, that doesn't sound like a baby, they said hastening, he's slowing up. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters. To me, that's wonderful.
He is lingering, and God's messenger is holding him by the hand of Gideon. That shows divine interest in human beings. And he's equally interested in us today.
It came to pass, verse 17, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O not so, my Lord. Whatever you say, not so, he is Lord. Why call me Lord and do not what I say? Escape to the mountain, not so, my Lord. The two statements don't go together. If he is Lord, we must be obedient. And Lot said, Not so, my Lord. The minute he said not so, the Lord ceased to be Lord. Acts chapter 10. And whenever we disobey the Lord, he ceases at that time to be Lord. Acts chapter 10. Let's start at verse 9, though we are interested in verse 14. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him. It had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air, and there came a voice to him, Peter, rise, kill and eat. Verse 14. But Peter said, not so, Lord. Something wrong. Lordship demands 100% obedience. And when he said, not so, he had no business saying Lord. And we need to check on ourselves. When the Lord tells us certain things are revealed in his word. The minute we say, not so, for that interval, he ceases to be Lord.
Matthew chapter 7. Did I say Matthew? You know I'm getting old. It's Luke. Luke chapter 7. Not so, Lord. Luke chapter 7. Let's start at verse 1. Our thought is in verse 8. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. When he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. He loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, trouble not yourself. I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter my house. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. Say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 8, for I am also a man under authority, having soldiers unto me, and I say unto one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he come. And to my servant, do this, and he does. Strict obedience. Now Matthew chapter 7. So I wasn't so wrong after all. Very important. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Obedience. Just because you say he's my Lord, no, no. How obedient are we to him? Jeremiah 35. We read the better part of chapter 35. Why call me Lord and do not what I say? The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go unto the house of the Rechabites, speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habaziah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chambers of the son of Hanan, the son of Igdiah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalom, the door keeper. I set before the sons of the house of Rechab pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink wine. But they said, we will drink no wine. Why? Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Verse 8.
Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he has charged us, our wives, our sons, and our daughters, not to build houses and so forth. But we dwell in tents, verse 10, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded. But it came to pass when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came into the land, that we said, come and let us go to Jerusalem, for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians, so we dwell at Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, did you not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded them not to drink wine, are performed. Unto this day they drink none. They obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. A human father tells his children and their descendants, do not drink wine. So they didn't drink it. The God of heaven said to the Israelites, don't do certain things, and they did exactly what God told them. These sons and children and descendants of Rechab are a perfect example of lordship, complete obedience. Daniel chapter 9, please. Daniel chapter 9. Verse 3. And I set thy face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and awesome God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity, have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants and so forth and so forth. Disobedience to the commands of God. And the minute that they disobeyed, he ceased to be Lord. And so I ask you again, beloved, be ye your Lord. The role of obedience. Now, I'm not very familiar with athletics, but I know that there are those of you that are interested in certain teams, baseball teams, football, but they have to practice, don't they? They have to practice, and they have to do what the coach tells them to do. And I'm thinking of a great musician, Maria Callas, a beautiful voice. And she was in New York with the Metropolitan Opera Association. And she didn't want to practice with the others. I know my part. And Rudolph Bean fired her. I see our brother smiling, Mr. Miller. And there is another young lady, I don't remember her name for the present. Beautiful voice. She was with the Metropolitan Opera. But she didn't want to practice with the rest of them, and she was fired. And I'm thinking of a young musician. He's dead now. The older ones of you may know him. William, you may know about him. William Cappell. Anybody here remember that name? I guess I'm older than everybody else. William Cappell had a knack for playing the piano. Oh, he was about 25, so late 20s. And he came down to New York with Madame Stokowski, wife of the great leader Stokowski. And he told her, I have come, I want you to be my teacher. Madame Stokowski said to him, I know about you. You like to do things your way. Now if I'm going to teach you, you're going to do my way. And I gave you 4 weeks to consider, come back and let me know if you're going to do it my way. He came back in 4 weeks and he said, yes, I will do it your way. And turned out to be one of the greatest young pianists of his time. In fact, there is a certain number that he has recorded, and in my poor judgment, his is the best recording of all that I've ever heard. And I've heard some of the greatest pianists play that same number. But William Capel was subject to Madame Stokowski, and he obeyed her. She told him, when I tell you to practice, you practice. When I tell you to finger a certain way, that's what you do. You do what I say, not what you want. And if we're going to be used of God, and he's going to be truly Lord, and we're going to have real success, we must be obedient. I think of something, oh, by the way, recipes. You ladies know that. I won't give away the person. But this person liked to go by the recipe book, see? But always altered. Where it said a half teaspoonful of salt, she put in 3 teaspoons. Altering the recipe. What do you think she ended up with? A culinary disaster. Not following the rules and the regulations. Failure to be subject to the Lord will bring us disaster and disappointment. And I think of my brother now with the Lord. And he liked mathematics. Now I have to be careful. I know that Vegas and that position, Brother Julius is here, and some of the others, I know you can handle those figures. My father was good at figures. He was almost computer-like. But I didn't get that in my genius. And my brother told me he took a certain course, the mathematicians didn't know about, the theory of numbers. Craig was asking about it. And I remember, I think I told you this before. I had a classmate, and he elected to take the theory of numbers. I elected to take a music course. And he came out beaming. Dr. Gill has just proved that 1 and 1 do not always make 2. I said, you don't need the theory of numbers for that. Genesis chapter 1. The 2 shall be 1. Advanced man. In the Bible. Well, my brother took this course too. And Professor Gill said to him, to the class, this is a difficult problem. There's only one way that I know that you can get the right answer. And he outlined that method. Then the next day he gave an exam. But my brother was smart and he figured he'd do it another way. Got it wrong. Wrong answer. So he said to Professor Gill, Professor, I have all the numbers right. I just have the decimal place in the wrong place. I'm almost right. You know what Professor Gill said? Almost right is completely wrong. Obey the Lord. Don't try our own ways. That's how Abraham and Sarah got into trouble, and the world is still in trouble today because they wanted to help God out. He wasn't answering their prayer. He wasn't answering his promise fast enough. And they decided that they would go ahead and help God and have this child. And the result is trouble in the Middle East and all over the world because one man and one woman would not wait on the Lord. Someone has said the Lord answers our prayers in one of three ways. He says yes, he says no, and most of the time he says wait. And that's the part we don't like, isn't it? Wait. When is God going to answer? When? Wait on the Lord. 1 John chapter 5, please. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Do we get that? His commandments are not burdensome. John Ruskin was walking along with a friend. And the friend said to him, you know, there are certain parts in the Bible that give me a lot of trouble. I just don't understand. Ruskin said, the parts that give me the most trouble are the parts that I understand. All right? Love your neighbor the way you love yourself. The commandments of the Lord are not arduous. Easily followed, and the beauty of it is, God gives you the ability to obey his commands. The problem is our desire not to obey his commands. Mark chapter 1, please. Mark chapter 1, verse 44. Well, we better start at verse 4. There came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. You know, we could talk a long time about that. If the Lord is willing, he can. Another one said, I know you can, but are you willing? And I write that hymn, he is both able and willing to save. But we read on. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Wouldn't that be nice today? You wouldn't have to worry about Blue Cross and Blue Shield and all these other health cares. Sometimes they pay, other times they don't pay. You realize. Oh, by the way, if present-day health healers, as they say they are really what they are, the hospital could be empty. And don't tell me that you need faith to be healed. Many of those whom the Lord healed had no faith. They just wanted to eat. And they were just trying him. He straightly charged him forthwith and sent him away. And said unto him, see that thou say nothing to any man. Don't tell any man. But go the way, thy way, show thyself to the priest, offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for the testimony unto him. But, this is the problem. We have often called attention to the buts of Scripture. And when God uses the but, it's a blessing. But when we use the but,
scroll.
But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, and so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every coast. By his disobedience, he hindered the work of the Lord. And when we are disobedient, we hinder the work of the Lord. And sometimes we wonder why there isn't blessing here. Why is that happening? Why is the other thing happening? Let's make sure we are obedient. In obedience. Walk before God. Obey his commands. Beware of calling Jesus Lord and slaying his commands. That's as far as we go today. In the will of the Lord, on Wednesday, we shall consider total commitment. As Lord, he requires total commitment, not half-heartedness. David said, my heart is fixed. And especially for you dear young ones in school,